The big question, what's it going to take for life to get back to normal in the Gulf of Mexico?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Right now we're going to ask this morning's big question. Given the worst oil spill in the nation's history, how much work is left to get things running again? At last count, BP's massive disaster leaked nearly 5 million gallons of oil into the Gulf of Mexico. Today, the British oil giant says it is satisfied with its so-called static kill, pushing mud down into the leaking well. Tomorrow, Louisiana officials will meet to schedule the start of the fall shrimping season in the Gulf. Marketplace's Adrian Hill has more.
Traditionally, fishermen get the go-ahead to start the fall shrimping season, the third Monday of August. And even though a lot of the fishing waters are still closed because of the spill, Martin Bourgeois with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries says it's a big deal.
Setting this fall season date is time to get our fishermen back to work, doing what they do best. It's important to these fishing communities that the fishery stays profitable.
But Danny Babin, who manages a shrimp processing facility in Louisiana, doubts that all that many shrimpers are champing at the bit to get back out there. He says a whole lot of them and their boats are out working cleanup, getting paid a good wage by BP.
They're getting paid so much per day. When you go shrimping, if you don't catch any shrimp, you don't make any money. If you catch a bumper crop, you make money. So, it's a gamble.
By working for BP, Babin says, the fishermen have a guaranteed paycheck, something that can be hard to turn down right now. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
We got word today. Payroll processor ADP said private employers added 42,000 jobs last month. That's slightly better than analysts expected. The outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas said today the number of planned layoffs at U.S. companies rose 6% last month. Intel today will announce that it settled a major antitrust case with the Federal Trade Commission. The world's biggest chip maker is accused of shutting smaller rivals out of the market and keeping chip prices unfairly high. Now, the U.S. isn't Intel's only antitrust critic, but today's deal would be a major milestone for the company. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live this morning to explain. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So do we know what the company has agreed to do to get the government off its back?
Well, the FTC will hold a press conference in a few hours to lay it out. Previous reports have suggested that Intel probably won't pay a significant fine, but the settlement with the Federal Trade Commission is sure to require Intel to change the way it markets and prices the chips that it sells to computer makers. The end result could be lower costs for those computer makers, which would in turn mean lower computer prices for you and me.
And what was Intel, Mitchell, what was it accused of here?
Well, it depends on which of Intel's critics you're talking about. There have been so many. Intel settled a major lawsuit brought by its rival Advanced Micro Devices last year, paying that company $1.25 billion. It has faced suits in South Korea and New York State. It is still fighting a $1.5 billion antitrust fine from the European Union.
But it still doesn't answer the question. What got Intel into this trouble?
Well, basically, the charges all boil down to bullying and paying off computer makers so that they would only use Intel chips, and also sabotaging competitors' attempts to make their chips work with Intel. Intel has 80% of the world market in CPUs. It's got more than half of the graphics market. So, it's a big deal. If you're a smaller chip developer, and everyone is smaller than Intel, of course, and you can't get your chip, your stuff to work with Intel's stuff, that's a big problem. What the FTC settlement to be announced today will do for Intel is clear away a big antitrust headache. It'll also set rules for more fair competition in the chip market, might lead to lower prices and more innovation going forward.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reporting live. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Intel shares, by the way, are lower in pre-market trading, about 0.5%. Let's check the numbers. Shares in Europe are mostly lower at the moment. Asian markets were mostly down today as well. The strength of the yen hit Japanese exports and sent the Japan benchmark down about 2%. Markets here at home yesterday were off 0.5% or less. The Dow shed about 38 points to close at 10,636.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Maybe you know a little something about this. You walk into a store, you do some shopping, right? But a long line sends you right back out the door. Well, here's something you may not know. Unlike in the United States, the British have long had a reputation of being very content to stand in line, thank you. But as Christopher Worth reports from London, a new study today reports that patience in Britain is wearing thin.
The study out from the bank Barclays says the British are becoming less willing to wait for what they want. But before we get into that, first let's take care of some linguistic differences. While the Americans stand in a line, the British stand in a queue. But whatever you call it, and however boring it might be, people in Britain are really good at it.
I think the joke about the British is that, you know, we see one person standing still, then immediately we'll go and stand behind them. We won't know what we're queuing for, but we know it must be good.
Ian H. is an author and commentator on British culture. He says some of that comes from the old traditional double-decker buses that only had one door and one line to get on. But the study shows the length of time the average British person is willing to wait has dropped from 5 minutes just 6 years ago to 2 minutes today. H. credits the change to the internet. Brits used to shop after waiting in line. Now they simply shop online. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And finally, it was a joyous occasion last weekend for the Clinton family as former first daughter Chelsea married her hedge fund manager fiancé. But you gotta wonder if the joy really goes to the owners of the estate at which the wedding took place. Astor Courts has been up for sale since last September at an asking price of $12 million. Sotheby's had the real estate contract through the end of last month, but now the owners are selling it themselves. And given the presidential affair from last weekend, well, something tells me Astor will be utilizing some new marketing points. Check us out online and share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. You can also follow me on Twitter, Chiotakis MMR, and I spell my last name Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.